Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. We thank you that you're God, that you're on your throne, that you uphold all things by the word of your power. All the storms are at your sovereign disposal. Why you allow come and affect others in loss of property or even life and spare others, we do not know. But we thank you that we do know that creation is not out of control. We thank you that even the heart of the king is in your hand. Scripture tells us that the wrath of man praises you and the remainder you restrain. We thank you for having mercy upon us, for loving us before the world began, sending your Son to die in our stead, sending the Holy Spirit to tabernacle among us, to lead and guide and direct us. You have preserved your word that we can read and study about you. And we ask our God that you will continue to watch over and keep us according to the promise of your word. We pray that you bless us now as we endeavor to study your word to your honor and to your glory. We pray that you would be with your men whom you have called to preach the gospel of the Son of God, that you might bless them this day, that you would raise up others, that you would send revival throughout the land, that you would rule over those who rule over us, that they might rule over us for good and not for evil, that we might ever be blessed to lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We thank you that you have plainly taught us in your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes it seems that way, but the problem is with us, not with you. You're still there. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We come today to another section in our study, and this is another interlude also, if you will, and this is the interlude that has to do with the chapters 12 through 14. Here we have three parts of this. It's the dragon, the woman, and her seed. That's in chapter 12. And then we have the two beasts that will be found in chapter 13. And then we have what's called a vision of assurance that's found in chapter 14. We need to keep in mind that one of the major themes in the book of Revelation is the struggle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. In fact, this is a theme that is throughout the entire Bible from beginning to end. This struggle is continually proclaimed even in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 21, it tells us, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." This is part of that struggle that goes on. John 16, Jesus tells us at the night that he was taken to be betrayed. In John 16, in verse 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Acts 14, 22, we have alluded to several different times. And when Paul and Barnabas were going back through the cities there in Pisidia, they told them and told the saints that it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. He said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And then we saw in Revelation chapter 11, in verse 7 it says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them." So the life of a Christian is a life of struggle. It's a life of trials. It's a life of afflictions in many ways. But we're going to see in the midst of all of this that God continues to look over his children. The judgment of Christ on the devil and his persecution, that is the devil's persecution of the saints of God, and his intended desire to hinder the kingdom of God are portrayed in the seven trumpets that we saw in chapters 8 and 9. And then in the seventh trumpet that we saw in the 11th chapter brought the announcement of the end and the establishment of the kingdom with the final destruction. But greater details of this conflict, that is at the end, will be shown in chapter 13, and as we ultimately see the overthrow of Antichrist. Before the Antichrist, there's the beast, the false prophet, and all of that, that's in chapter 13. We are given some insight to the spiritual warfare in the history of the people of God in chapter 12. This is where we are. In other words, this chapter is going to give us some insight concerning the spiritual warfare of the children of God. Let's read chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. In other words, 3.5 years, or 42 months. We run into that time and time again. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. You can see there, sometimes overcoming means even dying. But if you die for your faith and for the cause of Christ, Satan hasn't destroyed you. He may kill you physically, but God's going to raise you up. Anyway, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea! For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a times, from the face of the serpent. There again you have that 1,260 days, or that 3.5 years, that times, for a time, and times, and half a times. In other words, time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a times is a half a year. So you see that. We've seen that several times throughout this book. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Like we said, this interlude takes in the dragon, it takes in the woman, and it takes in the seed of the woman. This chapter shows the great conflict between God and Satan, and this conflict begins in heaven. And Satan is cast out, and the warfare continues unto the end. Now the woman. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And then there was another woman in heaven, another wonder in heaven, which was the dragon. Some think that this heaven here is only the atmospheric heaven, but we believe otherwise. This woman is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Where do we have this idea portrayed to us in Scripture? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I think we're going to find something that's quite clear to us. Joseph was dreaming and had a dream here. And we'll begin at verse 9. He'd already had one dream where the sheaves of his brethren were going to bow down to him. But in verse 9 it says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. That does not sound like what we read about this woman. This woman that was in Revelation. Notice this woman, she was clothed with the sun and the moon was under her feet. And she had on her head a crown of 12 stars. Well, back here in Genesis, I dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? To the earth? In other words, this woman that has the sun and the moon and the stars on her head, in Revelation it was 12 stars. Here in Joseph's dream, it was 11 stars that was going to bow down to him. That was his 11 brothers. So it seems to be quite clear that this woman in Revelation is Israel. Israel. Now, I believe, and I'm going to jump ahead here a moment and throw this in for what it's worth. I believe that not only is the woman Israel, but we're also going to see that this woman is going to represent the warfare and the struggle with all of God's children. Because you'll notice in verse 17, the last verse, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ," that being all of the Lord's people. This woman was great with child. She was great with child. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Beginning at verse 7. "Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child." This idea that we, woman with pain and bearing a man-child. "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God, thy God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her." And then in back in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," I've got the wrong one. Let me check one other place. Well, we'll have to come back to that. But anyway, back in Revelation, this woman was delivered of a man-child. Who is this man-child that Israel had brought forth? The Lord Jesus Christ. The woman brought forth the man-child to rule all nations with a rod of iron. We see that in verse 5. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to heaven unto God and to his throne." Now, we'll say more about that verse later, but I'm going to say this now, lest I forget it. You'll see in this verse, verse 5, it talks about the birth of the man-child, and then it talks about the man-child being caught up to heaven. There's nothing said about the ministry of the man-child and the man-child dying for the sins of his people and all of that. Why? Because this is showing the revelation of Jesus Christ from a different perspective. It's not having to do particularly with the death of his saints. It has to do with his victory over Satan. But we'll come back to that, Lord willing. He's to rule the nations with a rod of iron. We saw that earlier in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 27. where it says, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." And then in the third chapter of Revelation, verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." So we see that implication there. And then in Psalm chapter 2, we find allusions to this in prophecy. Psalm chapter 2. Verse 9, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." In fact, let's go back up to verse 6 in Psalm 2. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Obviously talking about Christ. "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." So see, Christ is going to come and he's going to reign. And notice what he says also in verse 10. "Be wise now there, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling, with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." The whole world is going to know before it's all wrapped up. All the nations are going to know who is their king and who is their ruler. Our King is our Christ, and he has power over all. Matthew 19, we see an intimation of this. Matthew 19, and verse 28. "Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." He said, "Well, I don't believe that means what it says." Well, I believe it means what it says. Jesus didn't say he was speaking in parables. He didn't say he was speaking in allegorical language. And all of this goes in hand, and we could bring in more scripture. But you can see that this man-child that is brought forth is to rule all nations. He, the child, like we said, he was caught up to the throne of God. And we see that, we can see that in Acts chapter 2. Obviously, not only in Acts 2, but what we've already read in some of the other verses just now, but in Acts 2, without question, notice what Peter says in Acts 2:33. Someday I'm going to get this Bible broke in. Acts 2:33, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." This is this man-child that was brought forth, caught up This word caught up is the same as in 1 Thessalonians 4 when it talks about that when the Lord descends, we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. He's going to take us by force. He's going to catch us. Same idea when Christ on Acts chapter 1, when he ascended back into glory, caught up into heaven. Like we said, the ministry of Christ is not discussed here. We're taken from his birth to his ascension into heaven here in Revelation 12. It is stated that he was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, but nothing is said about it being done as yet. He is to rule all nations, not just rule the elect. He's going to rule all nations. He's not going to just rule those that allow him to rule them. He's going to rule all nations, whether they want it or not. Beloved, this is our Christ. This is our God. This is the one that we're worshiping here today. This is the one the world despises. Politicians may talk about God, but they get in trouble if they talk about Christ. They can't afford to do that. They'll lose their place in the world. But we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This didn't describe anything about his death. We don't find any of that here. We don't find anything about his burial, his resurrection, of his ministry. It's just the woman is presented to us again. The woman fled into the wilderness. Some people say, well, this woman is the church. And what they mean by church is, depending on who you're talking to, but many times they're just talking about God's people. But we've already seen that the word church, the word ecclesia that church has put in this place, means congregation, assembly. But let's just, for argument's sake, let's just say, use the word church like they mean it. Well, the church did not give birth to Christ. Christ gave birth to the church. Christ set up the church. The church didn't set up Christ. Christ established the church. The church didn't establish Christ. So to say that this is the church is to deny Scripture. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, I will build my ecclesia, and he did. But Christ was born of the Jews by Mary. By Mary. In other words, this woman, like we said, this woman is portrayed as Israel, which plays out as the people of God eventually, and not the church as is generally considered. Here the woman fled for 1260 days, and God protected her as he did with Joseph and Mary and Egypt. And Jesus in Egypt. Let's look in Matthew chapter 2. You know the story, but might be somebody out there in internet land that not familiar with this. Did I say Acts? I meant Matthew 2. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 2. And when they were departed, that is, the wise men, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there till I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Let me pause for here just a moment and remind you that here Jesus is the young child. In Luke, he was a babe in a manger. Here, he is a young child in a house. Because in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother. So they were, and most likely Christ was somewhere around 2 years of age here because, well, we'll see this in a minute. Verse 14 again, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. That's Hosea 11:1. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under. Why from 2 years old and under? Notice the rest of this. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Notice in verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. So in other words, the star had appeared to them some 2 years before this. And Herod killed all the babies from 2 years old and under, according to that time. So he makes sure that he get the right one. He didn't know which one was 2 years. It might be a little younger than 2 years. But God had already caught him away into Egypt. Verse 17, Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah, was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children who would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Here you see a history of one way that God took care of his man-child that was born. Took care of his man-child that was born. And just as God can took care of him, he can take care of us. This was not the only time that Satan attempted to hinder Christ, because Satan tried all he could from the very beginning to keep Christ from being born. Many attempts in destroying Israel, or in destroying the lineage or the bloodline of Christ. You remember time and time again when there was bloodshed. And there was one time when Athaliah had killed all the sons of the king because she wanted to take over, but there was one king, one little boy, whose nurse hid him out in the temple for 6 years, Josiah. And when he was 6 years old, he came to the throne. Well, see, if Satan could have gotten rid of the bloodline, Christ wouldn't have been born, according to prophecy. He had to be of the line of the tribe of Judah. But this is not the first time. You remember in the Garden of Eden? The Lord said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. Who was the first child born? Cain. If Satan could destroy Cain, maybe he could get rid of the seed of the woman. He had Cain to kill his brother. A curse was put upon Cain. That didn't work, did it? The children of Israel were in the land of Pharaoh in Egypt. Pharaoh wanted to kill all the boys and wipe everybody out. But what happened? God raised up a deliverer in Moses and delivered the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan. Satan was foiled again. Haman, he had a decree made, and Artaxerxes to sign the decree that all Jews be killed, every one of them be killed. And if they could do that, if Satan could get all the Jews killed, the Messiah wouldn't be born. But what happened? Oh, Haman wound up hung on his own gallows. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. When Christ was in the wilderness, bypassing a lot of other history, Satan comes to him and says, if you be the Christ, throw yourself off of this pinnacle of the temple. That didn't work. Told him to get behind me. They tried again, time and time again. Look in Luke chapter 4. We'll look at a few verses here. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was in Nazareth. Luke 4, verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereupon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They're going to kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Look at John 8. John chapter 8. You can see Satan, time and time and time again. You think he'd have enough sense to give up, but he's a devil. John 8, look at verse 58. Then said Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him. That they weren't trying to run him out of town. They wanted to kill him. But Jesus hid himself. How did he do that? The Bible doesn't tell us. And went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. John 10, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. Because that thou being a man maketh thyself God. Thou being a man make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law that I said you are gods? If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And went away beyond Jordan, and where John was baptizing at the first. Why is it that Jesus couldn't be killed? Well, John 7. John 7, verse 30. Then they sought to take him. But no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. It wasn't time. And beloved, Satan can do nothing to you until it's God's time, if he is to do anything to you. And again in John 8, in verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. His hour was not yet come. He could not be killed until the appointed time. And this man child that the woman brought forth in Revelation is kept by the power of God and kept from being killed until it was time for him to die for the sins of his people. But there was war with the dragon and his angels. Back in chapter 12 of Revelation. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not. Note that. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, I'm not going to read all the way down through verse 13, but we've already read this. But here we see this sign in heaven. There was war in heaven. There was war in heaven. Now, When was Satan cast out? Well, we'll look at this a little more, maybe in detail, but Satan was cast out when he first fell. Isaiah 14 talks about him being cast out, cast down out of heaven, old Lucifer, son of the morning. He was cast out many times. Jesus said when the 70 came back and said that the angels were, the demons were subject unto him, he said, I saw Satan as he was cast out from heaven. Well, he's been cast out, he's being cast out, and he shall be cast out. But this is talking about this warfare that goes on. Here we see some of the same things that we saw in chapters 4 and 5 and some of the signs there that were going on. The time element is not given as to when this took place. That is, the time element is not given as to when Satan was cast out, but the fact of it was given that he was and it cast out. It happened. The devil is no match for the Son of God. And he hasn't got enough sense to surrender. You know why? Because his nature is contrary to it. The same as your nature was before God changed your heart. There was no fear of God before your eyes. The way of peace you didn't know. You had no fear of God and all of that. You were just like the rest of the world. And until God changed your heart and changed your will, God's not going to change Satan's heart and Satan's will. He's going to leave it in his fallen condition and ultimately cast him into hell. Hallelujah. But we haven't gotten to that yet. He still has a place in history. Why do we say he still has a place in history? Because he's still here. Why does God leave him here? That's God's business, not ours. The secret things belong to him. He was cast out in Genesis 1. He was cast out in Genesis 2. We made mention of Isaiah 14. Let's look at that. Isaiah 14, where he was cast out. This is talking about the king of Babylon, but it also has its fulfillment in Satan. Isaiah 14, beginning at verse 12, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend up above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. How dare him think he could do otherwise? Ezekiel 28, Just to give another one, Ezekiel chapter 28. This is talking about the king of Tyre, but it has its ultimate in Satan. Beginning of verse 11, Ezekiel 28, 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. See, the king of Tyrus wasn't there, but Satan was. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Evidently, he was a very beautiful being when God first created him. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Indicating that possibly he was the highest of all of the angelic beings. But that wasn't enough. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy way from the day that thou wast created. You were perfect there. Everything's all right when you were created. Till iniquity was found in thee. He was cast out. Well, we got a little more about this casting out. We need to pause for here because it's going to be too much. But you can see here that this man child is being victorious. And he shall be victorious all throughout history, even forever and ever. Let us pray. Thank you, our God. Thank you for our victorious Christ. May we ever look to him. We constantly pray that he would hedge us about and keep us. Yea, even keep us from him who is this arch enemy, the devil himself. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.